This is Deep Dive into Water Safety, and we started this program based on a 2025 Hawaii Water Safety Plan that brought to our attention very startling statistics. Drowning is the number one cause of death for Hawaii children. Mm-hmm. Hawaii residents' drowning rate is the second highest in the nation. Less than 2% of Hawaii's second graders have basic skills to avoid or recover from drowning. And 36% of resident drownings are made up of Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders, who only make up 27% of the population. And then we all have heard or read the Civil Beat, which has been continuing to cover this issue of drowning. And in their latest issue talked about, wow, we need to really talk about our residents and how important that is and how many drownings there are, which has been a very shocking thing for a lot of people. So why is this important to our listeners? Because drowning is preventable, and we're here to give you the resources and inform you about information and actually amplify this message. And so we're really pleased today to have Shirley DeRego, who is founder and head of the Alex and Duke DeRego Foundation. I did some research on you, but people I've had on the show so far, Alyssa Magdrum, Sarah Fairchild, many people have brought up your work that you've done over 10 years, since 2011. And I am just really impressed. So I'm going to let you start. I looked to see what your mission is, which is to empower Hawaii youth with water safety, ocean awareness, and emergency care knowledge. And your vision is to ensure every sixth grade student statewide receives fundamental water safety training. You've been identified by the National Prevention Drowning Association as a champion for, as an advocate of water safety. So we're really pleased to have you today, because we can talk about all the stats all day long, and we try to do that at the beginning of each show. But the stories are really important. And so, Shirley, with that, can you tell us something and how you started your Hawaii Island-based nonprofit dedicated to your young sons?
Yes. Thank you so much, Margaret. It's just an honor to be here, first of all. Anytime I'm able to share my story, and if it helps one person, then it's always, it's just worth it, what I do. My son Alexander, actually this year, September, is going to be 20 years since Alexander fell into the ocean on the south side of Kona on a camping trip. But Alex was, he was very, Hawaiians call it kolohe. He was always into something. He was always doing something. He was proud to be a Hawaiian. He loved his Hawaiian ancestry. My mother was born and raised here on the Big Island. And so my roots, my family, my ohana, it's from the Big Island. So I was always, he just loved that. And, I never really thought about Alexander drowning. Because we never found his body, I always just imagine, the Lord just reached down, grabbed him, and took him. Never dawned on me he drowned until later, a few months later. I was at a basketball game in Honoka'a. I had a son who was at Kapalama the year Al fell into the ocean, and we brought him home. He was just starting ninth grade at Kapalama Kamehameha School, and so I needed to have him home. So brought him home. I'm sitting there on the bleachers watching him play basketball, and then a lady taps me on my shoulder, and she goes, "Oh, you the mom? Yeah, your boy drowned." And I just kind of looked at her, and I was like, "Oh, yeah?" And I never really considered that. And so that's really the one of the first times I really thought, you know, Alexander drowned. And so I wanted to do something for Al. I wanted to do something, but I didn't quite know what to do. And so, you know, time went on, as painful as that is, you know, losing my son. Our community was there for us. 5 years later, his younger brother, my son Duke, he was involved in an accident where he fell off a golf cart going around my neighborhood. And the young children, his friends, you know, they were 14 and 15. When Duke fell, they panicked and no one ran for help. And they were sitting there going, you go, no, you go, no, you go. And finally, maybe 10 minutes passed and one of them took off running and got some help for Duke. And so, you know, Duke never recovered from that head injury and passed away 3 days later. And so as I was thinking of, you know, I need to do something so that what I had to experience, and especially when you come from a small town, Margaret, the loss of a child in a small town, a small community like mine, it impacts the whole community, especially if you are from here. My mother's family is from here. My kids were five generations. And so it affects everyone. And so in trying to think of something to do, I knew I wanted to provide some type of education, learning, skills that could prevent what happened to me from happening to another family. One day, this is after Duke passed away, that same year, Duke passed away May, it was Memorial Day weekend 2010. And so a few months later, I was on the airplane coming home from Honolulu, and the in-flight magazine had the cover of the story was Junior Lifeguards, the Next Generation of Heroes. And so as I turned the page and read their story, what these kids learn, I knew that's what I wanted to do. That's exactly the mission that I wanted to do. And so instead of trying to reinvent the wheel, our organization simply supported the Junior Lifeguard Program here on the Big Island of Hawaii. And in doing so, we helped raise money for their Big Island Championship, taking them outer island to compete in state championships, whatever the Junior Lifeguard Program needed. That's where I put my attention and supported that. And then one of the students that participated in the Junior Lifeguard Program, her mom was a teacher at one of the private schools here. And the mother asked me if our organization could do a water safety program for their end of health and safety week. So I said, sure. And I went to our water safety director. At that time, it was a gentleman named Black Abraham. He was a Hawaii County lifeguard, and asked him if we could do it. And he said, yeah, sure. So we took the kids all came, 60 kids came down to Hapuna. He split them up into interactive learning stations, and they spent the day going through different stations, learning water safety, ocean currents, conditions, riptide, rescue board. They did physical fitness. They did CPR first aid. And so when I saw that, Margaret, I saw that nobody does that. There's no program like that in schools. And that's when we started doing our school program for the middle school kids. That's when we.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No.
What year was that?
That was in 2011. The foundation was birthed, and it was probably in 2016 that we started our water safety in the school. And we did it for two of the schools here in my community. I did it for their summer school program. Anybody who heard about our water safety program and wanted to participate in it, we said yes.
And so how many schools now do you have involved in this program?
And I have 1, 2, 3, 4 here in Waimea, 5 South Kohala, 6 in Hilo, 7 Lapu'i. We have 7 schools that participate.
And so it's funded through your foundation?
It is funded through our foundation, yes.
And it's part of the PE program in the middle school? Is it for sixth graders?
It is for sixth graders. It's part of their health and fitness program, yes.
And when is that program done?
We do the water safety program in the month of March, April, and May, because the students come to Hapuna, and that's where the program is done. That actual in the water, ocean water safety, it's done at Hapuna. During that week, there is a day that I go to the school with a lifeguard, and I share my story with the students. There's a documentary that they watch, the story behind the foundation, knowing Alexander and Duke, and then looking at what they're going to do at the beach, being aware of the different interactive stations that they'll run through. I have a lifeguard there with me, and so he'll share about his day on the beach, some of the things that he sees, and then they watch the documentary.
So
I spend about an hour at the school.
So March, April, and May?
May.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and yes. What is that, an hour of time or 3 hours or what?
It's a whole day.
It's a whole day.
When I go to the school, I spend about an hour there in the classroom with the kids, talking story with them, sharing about water safety. The lifeguard shares that, and they watch the documentary. And then I drop off each student. The foundation gets a quick dry shirt. It has our logo on the front, and it has the color of their school. So it has their school color. So each student comes to the beach with their uniform on, and they have to wear it throughout the day. So at that time when I'm at the school, I bring the uniforms, I bring educational information, and then they come to the beach a day or two later, and then they stay there the whole day. They arrive at 9:15, about 9 o'clock, 9:15, then the program runs. We break for 40 minutes for lunch, and they're usually out of Hapuna boarding their buses by about 1:15 to head back to school.
So is it, how many days is it in March, April, and May? One day each month?
It is. It's a one day, yes. It's one day. So I'll go to, for instance, I'll go to the school on a Wednesday, share with the kids, drop off their uniforms, have them watch the documentary, and then on Friday they will come to the beach and run through the program. Then the next week I'll go to the next school on Wednesday, and then those kids will come on Friday. So it's like a 9-week course where we can do 9 schools, but once a week.
Oh, okay,
so
one school a week.
Yeah.
Okay.
One school a week, yes.
So that's really a good program, and you talked about not reinventing the wheel with the junior guards.
Yes.
And everyone's talking about the bill, 1234, I think it is, how we get water safety education into the schools. Have you thought, Shirley, how you could have some kind of 20-minute lesson that went into sixth grade health and education that would be part of what you're doing?
20-minute lesson.
On like riptides, currents, what they should know.
So the students go through that.
Right.
And it's a 35-minute lesson.
Oh, do they have that? That's what they do when you come to the school.
Yes. So it's a two-part. Our program is actually a two-part. The first part is the hour and a half I spend at the school.
Okay.
And it's sharing my story. The kids all know that I'm coming. It's sharing my story. A lot of them are like, what does she have to tell us? Who is she? Why is she here? And then as soon as the documentary is put on, it's 18 minutes. They meet Alex and Duke through the documentary. They realize that Alex and Duke is just two kids, just like they are. And then they see the tragedy that happened. And then the last 9 minutes of the documentary shows them what to expect when they come to the beach. And one of the stations that they go through is they sit with a lifeguard and he goes over rip currents, ocean conditions, wind conditions, and they spend 30 minutes with him there. And then they rotate to the next station, which is a CPR first aid station.
Well, this sounds like a really good model.
Mm-hmm.
Were you there to testify when they were trying to get the bill passed on water safety education in the schools?
I actually did it via online. I wasn't able to fly down to Oahu, but I did it via online. I was actually driving back from Kona, and I pulled over on the side of the road and did it on my phone. I did online testimony. And, you know, Margaret, the schools that we started out with were what's called charter schools. So they're public charter conversion schools. So they're not really, they are a part of the Department of Education, but not to the full extent. So those schools saw the benefit of our program and the value it brings to a student's life. And so they asked me to come to the school if we can do the program. And I said, absolutely. I do have a DOE school. I do have a DOE school that called me to ask me if I could bring my program to their school. And absolutely. So the first year I brought this program to their school, they asked me if I could do it for their sixth grade, their seventh grade, and their eighth graders. And I said, absolutely. And so every year going forward, I just do it for sixth grade. We do it for the middle school kids. Now, one of the students from this school, a sixth grader, last year, this is the school's first time doing our program, he is walking home from school on his way home. And every day on his way home from school, he'll stop at his grandma's house, just check in on her to see how grandma's doing. Well, on this day, he swings by and grandma is unconscious. So he immediately calls 911. He calls 911 and the 911 operator asks him, does he know CPR? And he says, yes, I learned it at the Alex and Duke at Hapuna. And so he starts administering CPR to his grandma. And the emergency response team arrive and he's still doing CPR to his grandma. So his mother called me, very emotional, to tell me this. And I know this family. I know this family. My kids played baseball. Actually, my older kids played baseball with his mother. So she's on the phone crying, telling me. I'm on the phone crying because, something that we're trying to teach these kids came out of this program. And one of the comments that she said that the emergency medical team had for the young boy was, you're so calm. You know, he wasn't panicking. He was calm. And he said that's what he was taught. So it's things like that, you know, just makes what we do all the more better, Margaret.
Yes.
You know, and so I met the young boy when I went back up to the school in this past water session that we had, you know, and his grandma's a teacher there, and she's like, another kid on the court, he almost performed CPR on another child. And then I had a teacher from the local school here said one of the kids that went to our program helped somebody in the lunchroom who was choking. So it's all those things that kids are learning that it makes me proud to know that my son, Alex and Duke, their life, although as short as it was in this land, their legacy is still living on. The things that we're teaching these children, ocean water safety, how to recognize a rip current, what to do, first aid, CPR, it's benefiting them in some way, Margaret.
Yes, your work is really impressive, Shirley. My concern is we have an Hawaii 2025 water safety plan that says, you know, we are not doing our job. We're not doing enough. We have a high rate of draining, and there are the kids. We're surrounded by water.
Yep.
I think everyone I've had on has said the same thing. We need leadership from the top. The work you're doing is wonderful, but we need it to be a state priority. It's a public health issue.
It is.
Dwayne DeSoto came on and said directly, we have neglected, and I do not say that lightly, we have neglected our children in teaching them our culture and how to stay safe in our waters. Mm-hmm. And I just truly don't understand why your work, the work of Nakama Kai, which he's been doing for almost a little longer than you have done, and told me it was the word he used was persistence, that he has kept doing those things. And he had no idea about these statistics until he had gone to some conference of which Dr. Dogoto had showcased in the Department of Health these statistics. And lately with John Carter, who I hope will be on our show, who identified the Hawaiian drowning statistic.
Is
phenomenal. And then the governor stands up there with the Hawaii water safety plan and says, everyone should read this. If you take it to heart, we can save lives. And the Civil Beat continues to cover it all. They just had a town hall about it last night. We need to get the task force and leadership on this so that we can move this into the school system so that every child has access to water safety education, swimming, CPR. It doesn't make any sense. And
you know, I'm sorry, not to cut you off there, Margaret. I'm sorry about that.
No.
Last year, I was a speaker at the National Drowning Prevention Alliance Conference in Reno. So I had a session there. And Kalani Vieira, president of Hawaii Lifeguard Association, he was a pro-presenter with me. And so we both presented together. And that's when it became so relevant, the drowning statistics. But to me, even more, Margaret, was what the states are doing, what the people in other states are doing to safeguard the lives of the children there, in schools, and how it's a part, it's a way of life. It's a way of life. Swimming is a way of life in school. I mean, people were there from Australia.
Yes.
And it's a way of life.
Yes.
It's a way of life. Arizona, a lot of people have swimming pools in Arizona just because of the climate.
Right.
It's a way of life in school to learn how to swim. So those states take serious the fact of what the people of those states do.
They see as a priority.
Yeah. Right, Arizona. You, most of the people in here have swimming pools. It's important for us to teach the kids how to swim in school, so they can be safe at home in their own swimming pool. You know, so it's that kind of mindset. And you know, I love where I come from. I'm, you know, it's my. I'll never go anywhere else to live. I'll live here forever. I'll visit other places. But we need to have leadership that sees this public service is a priority. There are so many schools that have swimming pools on the campus. My son went to a private school on Oahu. It was part of his academics that he had swimming, that he went to the ocean and swam. And so, but it's not that way for the public school kids. It's not that way for those children. One of the things that the Alex and Duke DiRego Foundation is doing this coming school year, Margaret, is we are working with Honoka'a School. Honoka'a School has a swimming pool there. They have county lifeguards there. And one of the things I've been talking with the head of the county lifeguard department there and the school, and I think a child who's in the second grade should be taken to the pool. That should be part of their PE.
Right.
They get swimming. The second grader goes to the pool, gets introduced to the water, knows what a water environment is like, learns some of that. Fourth grade, they're taken back. Third grade, fourth grade, they go back for swimming lessons in the school. Sixth grade, we take them down to the ocean. We show them that the ocean is a little different from the water, learn those type of skills. And then in 11th grade and 12th grade, we're going to work on a junior life, a lifeguard elective, so that when they graduate, if they want to become a lifeguard, they've done all they had to as far as textbook, and then they just take the lifeguard test. So that's something that Honoka'a will work with Honoka'a this year to do. Now, and I've had the conversation like, okay, you've got a swimming pool there. Can we get the second graders in the pool and let them introduce them to the water? And the pool, the distance from the classroom to the pool is probably a 2-minute walk.
Right.
On Oahu, there's schools that have to drive to a swim center.
Right.
And then, so you figure your class is maybe, 40 minutes maybe? So you've already lost 20 minutes by getting them in the van, taking them there. Now you've got another 15 minutes in the pool, pack them back up and take them back to school. So it's like the schools that already have swimming pools in them, let's start there.
Right.
Because it's in walking distance. That's the part I don't understand. In 2000, one of the things that I do for my organization is I write grants. We found a resolution, 2018, there was a resolution that was entered into legislature that said they realized drowning is a problem. And they realized that the DOE can't do everything, doesn't have the manpower or the means to help solve this problem. And so they realized that they might have to go to outside organizations. And that's where the Alex and Duke DiRego Foundation comes in. That's where Duane DeSoto's Nakamakai comes in.
Right.
That's where, and to me, we're not competing against each other. We are complementing one another.
Yes.
We are all in this together to save the life of our children.
Right.
Our neighbor's child.
However,
the lady at the, yeah.
However, mm-hmm. I think your work is fabulous and it fits the model in Hawaii. And the Kamakai is a great model for Oahu. But for Kauai, we don't have that many pools and there's other things to think about. But we should be thinking outside the box about how we can get just basic water safety education as part of the school curriculum, because as Mike Tipton said on our show from the UK, it's like lessons for life, right? And if we just give kids that kind of information as part of their curriculum, they'll start to understand that that's important. And then programs yours and Nakama Kai, we should be thinking outside the box on that. When school kids start the first week, why aren't we doing a program in PE that takes them to the water for basic one day of water instruction? But to me, it appears that it's just not a priority. But people like yourself and Dwayne and people who have been on the show are saying it needs to be. And I think the governor is also starting to move in that direction. He passed or signed the bill for retention ponds. Yes. That's a step, but it's a small step. And yes. I think we just have to be telling our listeners and everybody who can, as much as we can, what our drowning rates are,
that this is
not acceptable. And as you said, other states, other countries, it's part of the culture. Mm-hmm. And we need to keep doing that. And I so appreciate you, Shirley, your work. And have you thought of putting that as a model that you could share with the other counties or that you could share with the governor?
Yes. So one of my board members, Tina Johan, she's a teacher at a school here, one of the public charter schools, and together with another teacher, they've written, we have a curriculum. So I send the curriculum to the schools before I go so that they understand what the kids are going to do in the classroom and what they're going to do at the beach. And so we already have that in place. There's rules and regulations and a process, Margaret, but if I can do what I can do, I'll do what I can do.
Yes.
Because it takes too long to wait for the process.
Right. I think it should be, you should continue to do what you're doing.
Yes.
And Nakama Kai is moving along with what he's doing. And he told me he has curriculum for fourth graders for PE. That's all great. Yes. But at the same time, as Sarah Fairchild has said, and as Alyssa Magnum has said, we got to have leadership from the top on this issue. And we should be a leader in water safety for the country. I'm going to try to get more people from different countries on here talking about what they're doing, especially places like Australia, so we can get an idea how we can all work and collaborate together, because we're all in this together.
In this together.
Yes.
You know, when my people would come up to me and tell me, the little things that my children did in the community. My son Duke helped a lady at the grocery store carry her bags to the car. You know, Alexander was always such a funny guy. So it's things like that. You don't want to have to look back. You want to look forward with your kids. You want to continue to look forward with them in the memories that they are creating every day in their lives. And drowning is preventable. It is preventable. One of the things that I've implemented since returning from the National Drowning Prevention Alliance was an infant water safety program. Because drowning is the number one cause of death in children ages 1 to 4.
Yes.
So what we do here on the Big Island at our Queens North Hawaii Community Hospital and at Kona Community Hospital is in the month of May, every newborn infant in the hospital gets a little basket. In the basket is a towel with our emblem on it. It's a water safety card that talks about keeping your infant safe. To little things like, I never thought about this, but when you're bathing your child in the tub and you've got all the toys in there, after you bathe your child and you take your child back in the room and put their clothes on, that child is still thinking about the toys in the tub. And kids have gone back into the tub to get their toys and have drowned. And I never thought about that. So as simple as close the bathroom door, take the toys out of the tub when you take your infant out. And so we have tips. We have a card that has tips for the mom. We have a book in there. I put a water safety book in there. Last year, I had a water safety book in there written by a gal out of Australia on newborn. This year, I have it. It's from a family in Tennessee. Stewie the duck learns how to swim. So we put that book in. We put a water watcher card in there that talks about the five steps and how to watch your child by any body of water. And so every newborn child in the month of May, because May is water safety month, right, they get this basket. They get this infant basket. And then every day after that, throughout the whole year, in the newborn mother's welcome packet, they have a little insert from us. It's got water safety tips. It's got a little card that you can put on your tub to measure your water, or in the baby bathtub, how you should measure your water. So anything that I can do, Margaret, to help somebody in that area safeguard their family, that's what the Alex and Duke DeRago Foundation, we strive to do.
It's great, but we need you on every island. We need that in every hospital. That's crazy.
Yes. and our goal is to, I'm working with someone from the Hilo Mark Benioff Hospital to get it in there as well. And then it's like if I have to set the example, then I'll set the example.
Right.
You know, and the other organizations or other people want to come on board and you know, we can do that.
But who knows about this besides just the people who are on the Hawaii Lifeguard Association and the coalition? Outside of that, who knows about your work? Because it's frustrating to me to think probably the hospitals don't know. And people I know that are in the school system, they don't know about a lot of this curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when the Hawaii Water Safety Plan was started, Sarah Fairchild reached out to me
right
in 2023, and I was part of the first group of people. You know, we were still trying to figure out what it was going to look like, how it was going to look like. We all had the the national water safety plan. As time went by, other people came on board that put it together. I believe there's a second draft coming out, and one of the things I'd like to see about the second draft is the Alex and Duke DeRago Foundation work in it.
Good.
As what we're doing in the schools, in the hospitals, so hopefully that'll be something that we'll see in the future. Margaret, in the meantime, it's just forward movement for us.
Yes.
And you know, one of the things that now happens is I have schools calling me. I have schools that call me and say, hey, I heard about your water safety program. Do you think you can bring it to our school? And I'm like, absolutely. We have a school in Lapuhoehoe. They don't have proper transportation. So we provide the transportation that'll bring the students down to our program because it's that important. Lapuhoehoe is another school that has a swimming pool there. And I've talked to the gal that I work with there as to start this second grade swimming, fourth grade, sixth grade, lifeguard elective in the school. And I understand where there's schools that might not have a swimming pool, but you can tweak the learning to
right
meet that body of kids.
That's correct.
You know, you can. And that's another thing for me. You know, I thought, you know, I'd have to do another documentary where I take it to a school that can't come to Hapuna, they can't come down to Hapuna. Maybe there's a swimming pool at their school. So we do our water safety program at their school in their swimming pool because they, you know, they won't, they, it's too far for them to drive all the way to Hapuna. So it's just, you've got to work and try to, like you said, think outside of the box to meet the needs of that community or that school or that body of people, just to help in the work that we do.
I absolutely agree, and I am so impressed with your work, but I also believe it needs to be a state priority because it's a public health issue, and we have to keep speaking to that. And I would like to know what you'd envision. You envision this to be mandatory sixth grade water safety education, correct?
Yes.
What would you like to say to our listeners today, you know, who are going, wow, I didn't know anything about the drowning. I didn't know anything about a program. And I certainly didn't know that they weren't getting education like this in the Kauai schools. What would you like to leave our listeners with, Shirley? Because I would like to have you come back and talk more about what's going on. As you said, there may be a new plan coming out and new recommendations.
Well, I just think that first and foremost, this is excellent. What's happening? How the reporting on drowning is taking the forefront, I believe, Margaret.
Yes.
I believe it. I've been doing, I've been doing this since 2011. And, you know, my program was in summer fun only or at here and there, you know, schools that wanted me or just summer fun programs and never gave up. And so it's for the listener that has children in a school that doesn't have water safety right now, I would say educate yourself, read up on it. What are some of the things, if there's programs in your community, Kauai has an awesome junior lifeguard program.
Yes.
Kalani Vieira is committed to that program. Hawaii Lifeguard Association out there. By all means, seek out programs that you can enroll your child in that can give them information to safeguard their lives. Speak to your representatives in your county. See how they can help. Maybe a county pool in Kauai. Maybe, something of that nature. But in every county that we have, there is something there that a family could search out to help educate their child in swimming. Now, here in Waimea, you know, there was one private school that had swim lessons. And my granddaughter at a young age went to that swimming academy. And there were just so many children in it. And there, at times, there's like six or seven kids swimming in one lane.
Yeah.
So more of that has to be done. And so I would say to the listeners, wherever you live, in whatever community you live in, it is important for you to find out more information about drowning prevention. If you have kids, what are the five layers of risk when you take your child to the beach? Stay off your cell phone. Keep an eye on your child. Have a life vest on your child if they don't know how to swim. I cannot go to the beach anymore and enjoy the beach, Margaret, because I'm like a lifeguard. I'm standing there, and I could be standing there, and my girlfriend and I are going to talk. I'm not even paying attention to her. I'm scanning the water.
Right.
I'm scanning the water to see if kids are okay. one of my friends told me, you know, on vacation, I can't go to the water on vacation. I'll have to go up to the mountains.
I've heard that from lifeguards, too.
Yeah, then I can enjoy. Yeah, I feel like that. I feel like, you know, I'm watching little kids by themselves. Like, where's your parent? Where is the parent nearby? But I think for so long, Margaret, we have just had that ma'a, you know, the Hawaiian word ma'a, we're used to it.
Yes.
We're just used to being by the ocean. The kids are over. Oh, there they are. They're over there. Or, oh, they're fishing over there. Not thinking that at any time something could happen to them. And you don't want to think that at all. You don't want to be fearful every place you go.
Right.
So then find out the information that you need to help to give to your child. We live in a different world now. Information is at our fingertips.
Correct.
So there should be no reason why you can't try to find something, enroll your child in something, you know, reach out to your representative in your county, and just continue to remind them that we lack the resources and we lack the ability to teach our kids the things they need to learn
right.
to keep them safe,
right.
especially in the ocean.
Well, we have here on the county of Kauai, we have the parks and recreation, the swimming, but it's always filled up. We have junior guards,
right.
and yes, they're identified as very strong, but they fill up in May
fill
for
up
3 months.
Yeah.
That needs to be expanded, but they need more guards.
Yeah.
And I'm part of the Kauai Lifeguard Association, and this summer we started Swim for Free, which was started with Kauai High School, and they were able to give lessons to kids through May, June, July, and August before school started. It was very successful. It's a collaboration between the county, Parks and Recreation, Kauai Swim Aquatics, and KLA, and using the Kauai pool. So that was an out-of-the-box thought. But it's a start. It doesn't.
Yes.
It's not, you know, we have to have leadership from the top saying, yes, this is a priority. We need to do this. So
yes.
I really appreciate, Shirley, you sharing this. And for our listeners, I hope they take your advice that to look into do anything for water safety for their kids.
You know what? You know, one thing, Margaret, if I'm watching the news and I see somebody's child has drowned, somebody lost their child, whether they're a resident or a visitor, I know exactly how that person is feeling. I know exactly what that parent is going through. And it breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart to know that another family, a mother, father, sister, brother, auntie, uncle, I mean, all of them are devastated. It just,
right.
And so when we say drowning is preventable, it is. It is preventable.
Well, we will leave
you
with that.
Go
ahead.
Yeah. You need to take the steps that are necessary to protect yourself, your family, your children, and if it's not in your community, then you need to reach to the top of the ladder, like you said, our leaders, and request it, email, shout it from the rooftop, you know, because I think we are in a time right now, Margaret, where our voices are getting louder and louder and louder.
I think you're right, Shirley.
Yep.
Absolutely. I want to have you back on, and you can tell us more about what's going on, because I believe we're going to keep getting louder and louder and get
I do too.
More and more results. So
I do too.
Thank you so much. And in memory of your two sons, you're doing
a
fabulous job with the foundation for our communities.
Thank you, Margaret.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Margaret.
Okay, we'll talk soon.
Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Thank you, Margaret. Aloha.
Aloha.